The sermon will think on and reflect on all three readings from the Old Testament, the Epistle, and the Gospel reading. One summary statement that one might think about in considering these passages is from the Gospel reading, Luke 16, verse 10. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We see that the constant temptation that we face, even though we have God's word with us, and we know what it says a lot, if we are Christians and we've been going to church or Bible study a lot, we've heard his word a lot, and yet the constant temptation is that we would look around us and not listen to God's word, but see what the world is doing in many ways. Whether it's cheating one another, taking advantage of people who are in need. That's one thing the world does. Or whether it's behaving in ways that make you appear strong and powerful and argumentative and angry rather than peaceful and praying, or whether what we're said is you should become glamorous and desirable and have a lot of people jealous of how you look rather than faithful, full of good deeds. Or you fix for yourself what has sometimes a nickname, a golden parachute. You know you're going to be fired, so you set up a policy in which you will be fired and still get to be very rich. That's what the manager did, the shrewdful manager. Very quickly, I summarized all three readings. In Amos, God is concerned with people who are taking advantage of the needy and not taking care of the poor and in their hard situation, but actually taking advantage of them. And that's one thing that people will do, and sometimes we're tempted to do. But you might just say, Amos says, take care of the needy. They need your help. Don't take advantage of them. St. Paul's writing to Timothy, and this is from what's often called the pastoral epistles from 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Because both Titus and Timothy were overseeing pastors of the area, and St. Paul in these three letters is writing to Timothy and to Titus and saying, in these congregations, in the pastors' lives, in the congregations' lives, these are things you should be thinking about. And Paul says, one thing you should be doing is praying. And you should be praying for all people. Prayers for all. He says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving may be made for all people, for kings and all who are in positions, high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. He's saying this to the pastors, to the Christian congregations under the purview of Titus and Timothy here. This is how your people, your congregations should be behaving when they meet and join together, be praying for everybody. Everybody. So somehow there would be peace. There would be opportunities for the gospel For he says there, this is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All people. He means all. Even the ones we think shouldn't be saved. But he wants all to come to know Jesus Christ, repent, be forgiven, and be saved. That he wants that to be the attitude of these new congregations that Timothy is overseeing. And then he gives instructions on worship. And this is what he's talking about, really, in this whole chapter. But think about this, where he says in verses 8 and 9, I desire then, that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. It's taken in our culture many times to be masculine, to be successful as a man. You must be strong, you must be hard-hearted, you must be argumentative, you must behave in a certain way to overcome your opponent. That's not what he says here. And then in verse 9, he says, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but what is proper for women who profess godliness. This is a key thing here. The women who believe, and with good works. I have there a couple blanks. Men should be peaceful and praying, and women have beauty of faith and deeds. When we look about us, and it was the people at that time too, when Paul writes, and the people in the Old Testament, and since that time in our day, ideas of how to become successful or popular are given in the culture. And so often it's not what God says is his design and his purpose. He gives life. He gives growth. That is the character of God. So he encourages men who are giving life and pray for others and help others. And women who are full of faith and good deeds. Those are the things that God is looking for. He's very specific here. He would have men to preach and lead worship. And then he brings in, he wants women to learn quietly and submissiveness. But I have, since I've been about 10 years old, I have thought on this passage. And maybe you have too. And some of the other passages where he talks about men and women. And it's helpful for me to remember how God, and Paul brings it in here, and other places too, and Jesus brings it in too, to think about how God created Adam and Eve. How did God want it to be? And we have to look at Scripture to understand this. For if a person doesn't even believe that there was an Adam and Eve, and believes in some kind of evolution, and who knows, these are just myths, then you, that person, that kind of thinking, cannot understand God's way of thinking at all. It's not even possible. But if this is true, if the truth is that he created Adam and he formed Eve out of his side, then what was that relationship between Adam and Eve? And how did God form them to be as a couple and as the first mother and father of all the living? Think about that. And then think about what Satan tempted them to do in the fall in Genesis chapter 3. The old King James translation for Eve that she was a helpmeet is very helpful for us to think about. She was a helper. She completed Adam. She was a part of Adam. And Adam recognized that, bone by bone and flesh of my flesh. But what happened in that temptation and fall? Eve tempted and led Adam away from God. Just the reverse of what God created her to be. And we think about that. We think about then our roles as men and women, husbands and wives. In a Christian marriage, the spouse is supposed to help the other be faithful. To help the husband be a man of God. To help the wife be a woman of God. That is God's intention. And things that would take us away from that design, which the world would take us away a lot, but anything that takes us away from that design hinders us, and we're not serving one another anymore. This text is very important. I could spend a lot of time, and it needs study. But it's good for us to see that the foundational part of creation is that we are supposed to be helpers and to serve one another. And if we get away from that, then we're getting away from God's design. We're entering into sin. Now, Jesus told a parable in which a guy was very clever how to help himself. The manager who was cheating, Jesus designed the parable so that the manager who was cheating actually set up, which I mentioned, a golden parachute. So that how will people still receive me when I get fired because I've been cheating? How will people still like me? If I tell them before I'm fired that you owe 80, not 100, and you owe this, not this, they'll be thankful to me. And they will save me favorably. And Jesus says, men and people in this world, they're smarter in those ways. But one of the things he's pointing his disciples to look at is whatever you have been given charge over, be faithful. Whoever's faithful in a little is faithful in a lot. If we're in charge over teaching somebody, if we're in charge of, we have a part of a marriage, we're a spouse in a marriage, if we're given charge of things at work, if we're given charge of responsibilities at church, if we're given charge of responsibilities in the community, you name it, you can think of different situations, to be faithful in that, to realize then it's not me who has gained that. God has given that for me to do. And I need to be faithful in that, not so I can be a good person or earn righteousness or good works, but that I am faithful to God. And that's part of the great fall, great curse of the fall. The husband and wife so often, outside the Christian faith, they will use one another or think they own the other, one way or the other, instead of, in the Christian faith, their gifts to one another. And so, of course, I want this gift to flourish and be a person, a man or woman of God. If we're not faithful in our marriage, why would he give us responsibility in other things? If we're not faithful at work, why should we be given more? If we're not faithful in bringing up our family, why would he increase it all the more? These are gifts from God. to which we are called to serve. Not to take advantage of, like Amos warned about. Not to go outside and to think of success as the world thinks of success or power, but to live as men and women of God, as Paul writes Timothy, and to be faithful in whatever we're given to do. And so God calls us to see what he's given us, calls us to look at his word, to believe that, to see his design for us. God knows far better than you or me what is going on in the world. He sees every corner. He sees into every country. He sees into every error. He sees into every single sin and disaster. He knows. So God calls us not to look around to all those confusing and terrible things, but to look to his word, how to live as his son, how to live as his daughter. There we will know. Dear Father in heaven, forgive us when we are not faithful. Forgive us when we take advantage, or we think of ourselves, or we go outside the directions of your word. Help us and teach us to see things your way, rightly in our lives. Help us to resist the devil and the world's wrong teachings, but to hear your teachings. Help us to know that we are owned by you. You have created us. You have redeemed us. You have sanctified us. We are yours. Help us to know that, believe it, and live like it. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.